Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Back in the book of Genesis. Genesis being a Greek word that means generation or creation. And the Hebrew name for the book is Bereshith, which is to say in the beginning, which really gets it said. In the beginning what? In the beginning, God created this earth to be inhabited. It wasn't void and without form. But after Satan's rebellion, as we learned yesterday in Jeremiah chapter 4, it became void and without form. Many people confuse this flood, called the Katabol, with the flood of Noah. And when you read Genesis 4, you notice God said, I destroyed every bird, every city. Well, now, in Noah's flood, we had birds right aboard the ark. And the old raven, when he was turned loose, he didn't even come back. And all the trees weren't destroyed because the dove turned loose, brought back an olive branch. You know how long it takes to grow an olive branch? Longer than the so-called flood was, the floodwaters. And so that flood was not all-inclusive destruction as the overthrow of Satan was. So, again, the point being made, God doesn't create anything without form. It always has a purpose. It is man that destroys it or brings it down. In this case, it was Satan and those that followed him. So having said that, there's one thing you need to remember from the last lecture, and that's what a polysyndeton is. That's the word and. In verse 2, it states, and the Spirit of God moved. That's every time you read the word and, that's what it means. There's a lot more meant than is written. So you have to pick up on that. And with that having been said, let's go ahead and let's pick it up, if we may, with a word of wisdom from our Father. Verse 3, as we continue in this great book of Genesis chapter 1. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Verse 4, and God saw the light. And it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Now, what is this light? You're going to be asked this, so you want to pay attention. You're going to be asked, well, the stars, the moon, the sun hasn't been created yet. Well, what is this light? And you would really be cornered if you didn't know. Go with me, if you would, to the great book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 23. Listen to it. This is the eternal temple. Revelation chapter 21, verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The very Lamb of God being the light thereof. So that's the way you explain that particular light. Also, if somebody wants further proof, the great book of St. John, chapter 1, remember, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And then in verse 5 of that same first chapter of St. John, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's John the Baptist. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Naturally, that's Messiah, the Son of God. Verse 8, John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Naturally, you know, and many people say, well, that's talking about the Son of God. Well, if we were to continue on in St. John over to the 14th chapter, what you would read is the words of Christ that would say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why? They're both one. Emmanuel, God with us. He is that light. And that is the light that wherever you are, if you have that truth and you can see it and understand it, then you don't have to worry when someone says, well, how can Christ sit at the right hand of God when they're one? Well, you answered your own question if you'll stop and think. They are one. So having said that, then you'll be asked, why is there light? The light was God. He lightens and covers darkness everywhere when you're in him. Verse 5, here comes another and, which means, and the Spirit of God moved. What did he do this time? And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And there you have the first one. And God is the divider of time and light. He's our all in all. He is our Father. Verse 6. And there it goes again. The Spirit of God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Naturally, the firmament was all above. It protected this earth in its perfect condition from all of its the rays that would damage and so forth. But it came down. And what did we have after the firmament came down? Next verse, please. Verse 7. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. Then you had seas and oceans. Verse 8. And God called the firmament heaven. That's where it came from. And the evening and the morning were the second day. There we have, incidentally, when we say second day, what did we read in 2 Peter in the last lecture, in verses 6, 7, or 8, that you were not to be ignorant of? You're not to be ignorant of what? The fact that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years to man. So what is the second day? Was it 2,000 years? Is that why that if you take the 7 days of creation, that's 7,000 years, you add the 6 that we have now onto it, 4 before Christ, 2 after, 6,000, that would be 7 and 6 is 13. And when we go up and we find many of these animals that were in that instant freeze or overflow in both Russia and in our tundra in Alaska, it dates 14,000 years ago. You might think about it. Am I saying that's a fact? Well, it is a fact that that's what the animals date. And it is a fact that God told you not to be ignorant of how long a day is with him. Verse 9, to continue. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place. And let the dry land appear, and it was so. And there it was. We have it all laid out now. There are waters, oceans, and seas on earth. And verse 10, and God called the dry ground earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And it was not chaotic. It was not destruction. It was good. He is revamping and reclaiming this earth from the catastrophe, that is to say, the chaotic overthrow of Satan. Verse 11, and we have another polysyndeton, and the Spirit of God, the Holy Ruach. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit, after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. That means it was perennial. It means that year after year it would reseed itself. It would be self-sufficient. It would take care of itself. That's the way our God makes things, kind after kind. 12. And the earth brought forth grass and herb-yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself, after his kind, And God saw that it was good. God appreciates things being put in place and establishing fruit and vegetables for man, because he knows already he's going to create man flesh this time, not a spirit body as they were in the first earth age, but a flesh man that will have to live from the earth because he will be formed from the earth. Even today, if you take minerals or vitamins, they must have been organic, taken from the earth, or you can't digest it. If you're going to take on iron, you've got to get it from a plant whereby it is organic, or it would kill you. If you eat flesh of an animal, if it's a clean animal that has eaten grass or grain or something from the earth, for it also came from the earth, that's clean food. And that was Father's plan, and you can see it as he establishes and sets things forth. Verse 13 to continue. And the evening and the morning were the third day. There we have three times passed by. Verse 14 to continue. Another polysyndet, and in the holy Ruach, the Spirit of God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs. What are they for again? They are for signs and for seasons and for days and years. It's our time clock. Our solar calendar is absolutely, positively correct. Right, every year, year in, year out. Not like months or moons, as people call them, because months are not accurate. One month is not a full 30-day period of a solar month. But when one is wise enough to understand God's calendar, the solar calendar, there's no problem. And for certain people, they go by the moon. Unfortunately, all prophecies given concerning Satan and darkness are given in months or moons. All prophecies given concerning God's children are given in days, solar. Verse 15, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Now, here now, we have a different light than the light mentioned in that first day, and that light being the very light from God himself, truth, and his guidance, his power, his healing hand, his wonderful word that became flesh and walked among us, he himself. 16, and God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, that was the sun, of course. And the lesser light to rule the night, being the moon, of course, as we had foresaid. He made the stars also. He put them all in the exact place where they should be. It is amazing in the great book of Job. Poor old Job, after listening to 38 chapters of nonsense, of ratchet jaws, of people who claimed they knew God and were Bible scholars. They knew nothing. But God finally would tell Job, get up from there and stand up and act like a man. Gird yourself up. That means be ready for action. Where were you when I placed all the stars in the place that they are? Where were you when the sons of God sang for joy? The little star being God's children in the heavens. Finally, he began to listen to God and God's own creation. This was back even into the first earth age. In other words, God was saying, why would you turn to a bunch of knuckleheads for advice when you've got me, the living God, the one that did all this, that put it all in place? Why would not you come to me? And that's, you'll never find a better piece of advice than go to God, not man. That's why he sent you this letter. Next verse, please, verse 17. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And so we have it. Beautiful. 18, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. Not chaotic, not disorder. When God fixes it, it is good. Verse 19, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Now you want to pay attention here. I'm going to teach you something that I would not want to debate it, but it's food for your thought. Listen carefully. Verse 20, and God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth, and in the open firmament in the heaven. Now, I must tell you that this word life, as you read it in the English, is the Hebrew word nephesh, which means soul. So he created something, and I must tell you that nephesh is translated 472 times in God's word as man, soul. It is translated 282 times where it could be man or something else, a soul. So then the question comes, well, then do animals have souls? Well, it's referred to them sometimes. But what people is it? This is simply food for your thoughts, supplication. What people does grow their food from the water and basically live from the sea, the water, the fish, that type of food? We know it's wheat, rice growers. They grow their wheat in the water and from the water. And most of their living is made from the waters. And their history through their dynasties goes back much further than our history. And I'm talking history here, not biblical scripture. But their history goes back many dynasties past what ours does. But just something for you to think about and to ponder. But many of you, even your little cross reference in your King James Bible, will give you the correct translation for life is soul. Think about it. Verse 21. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly. It was fertile. After their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. God made water fowl, he made land fowl, he made animals of the ocean, and he made animals of the land. And it was good. God has always loved animals. 22. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let fowl multiply in the earth. Let them repopulate it. 23. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And here we come to that fifth day. And so it was. How long again is the day with the Lord? 1,000 years. Verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. There you had them. Okay. 25, and God made the beast of the earth after his kind after kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Now, some of these are clean, some of them are unclean. Some of them were made to partake of by man, and others were made to keep filth clean from the earth, whereby you have a perfect order of things. That's why it was good. And that's why God always creates things good. 26. And God said, let us make man. What day is this now? This is the sixth day. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. I want him to look just like we look in our spiritual bodies. And let them have dominion over. Now, did it say here, let them be farmers? No, it didn't. What does it say then? Let them have dominion over the fish. They're going to be fishermen of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, hunters, and over the cattle, herdsmen, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. But you didn't have somebody to till the soil. Didn't tell them that. Well, you'll find out why in the next lecture. So just sit on that and remember, these people created on the sixth day were hunters, fishers, and that sort of thing. 27. So God created man in his own image. They look, as they looked in a spiritual body, they looked exactly the same way in the flesh body. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he him. And naturally here, who did God create in his own image? Christ. If you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. Okay. When that time would come. But here, these men and persons were created and made in their exact image. They looked the same. Verse 28, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish. Now, not plenish, not the first time, but replenish the earth which I destroyed from the first. Got it? Replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And you replenish it, populate it, you hunt, you fish. We still don't have a farmer. Okay. Don't worry, we shall. And so it was. I want you to note, many people will say, well, God is talking to the Holy Spirit. No, the polysyndant and God being one. We only have one God. You know, and it's sacrilegious for you to ever think that we have two gods. That will not fly. We only have one. But whereby, inasmuch as he created man in his own image, he included himself in our image. Meaning, if you have seen that Son, you've seen him. Meaning, he saw fit to come in the flesh body himself to show us how to get it done. And that's a different story for a different time, but it is a simple fact of the Scripture and how it should be. Verse 29 to continue. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. Now, again, what you want to understand, we will be speaking of a different tree in a chapter hence. And it is a tree which is this body. This is the trunk. These are the limbs of that human tree. And we will have a tree of knowledge of good and evil, which means Satan. And we will have the tree of life, which is Christ. And after certain people are created in the next lecture, then they will have to ply between those, and that controversy continues to this day between Christ and Satan. I don't know, which side are you on? Well, naturally, you're on the Christian side. You love the Lord, and the Lord loves you. But remember, Satan is a deceiver. And inasmuch as everyone is made in their exact image, you better be able to tell the difference. You better know how to discern spiritually. But the fruit trees that are good, he gave to us to partake of, to enjoy. Let's go with one more verse, 30. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, there's that word again, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And so it is that we would live from the earth and by the earth. Now, it's important that you note that our Father when he created and loving his children, what did he do back in verse 27? I don't want you to ever forget this. In verse 27, the image of God created he them, male and female created he them. In other words, he created both man and woman for each of these people. Well, who are they? They're the races of the world. He created one of each race, a pair from each race, to populate this earth and replenish it from the first, and they are made in the perfect image of what they were from before in their spiritual bodies. And so it is. That is quite a step for some people, and it shouldn't be. It's very simple. You will have certain mythologists that will come in and say to you, well, you don't understand. There was a woman named Lilith that Adam partook of first. That's mythology. There was no Lilith. There was honest, God-fearing hunters and fishers, people of every race, to repopulate this earth, whereby they would know and understand. I know there are not many people that teach this, but then big surprise, right? They would rather have racial problems rather than to know and to understand that God's on the throne. He's in control. And he created people as they are. Be quiet. That's the way he wanted them. He created them that way in the first earth age. And he looked then, it was good. And guess what? As you continue on in verse 31, listen carefully. And God saw everything that he had made, every last bit of it, okay, all inclusive. And behold, it was very good. Not just good. It was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And there you have the sixth day creation. God created all people, all the races on that sixth day. There, I will be in the next lecture taking you into the Hebrew a little bit to show you there is a difference in the man created on the eighth day than these created on the sixth day. Not that it's any preference or that if they have any priorities other than it would be through that man, Eth Ha'adam, that Christ would come. And through that woman, Mother Eve, who would be the mother of all living, for one simple reason. It would be Christ that would come through her womb, umbilical cord to umbilical cord, that would give eternal life, or you're not living. You're going to die. Therefore, he had this plan of salvation put in place and complete. As he restored this earth from its chaotic condition after the fall of Satan, whereby man would have the opportunity to better himself. And through this, through his plan of salvation, he saw fit himself. I mean, the creator of all things, to be born of woman. This is why in 27, chapter 27, that God would create in our own image, you would find Eth Ha'adam used the first time there in the manuscripts. Why? Because he was talking about Christ. It was all inclusive among the six-day creation. But there's another creation coming. Many would disagree on this subject. That's fine. But the proof is in the pudding. The proof is in the Word of God. And you might say, well, I don't understand. How can you say God created the races? Well, are you dense? Have you ever looked around in the world today? Where do you think they came from? Out from under a rock somewhere? No. God created all the peoples as they were from the first earth age. And what did he say? Not only was it good, it was very good. Therefore, when we see, you know what some would have you do is believe that certain people came from an incestuous affair between Ham and his mother. For to uncover your father's nakedness, as it is written in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 11, or is it 21:11? 20:11, that to uncover your father's nakedness is to lie with his wife, your mother. Or you'll see it again in Leviticus 18:8. To uncover your father's nakedness is to lie with his wife. Now, that doesn't change your race. So, it was Noah that drove Canaan away because of what Ham had done to Noah's wife and Ham's mother. It wasn't God. So, it certainly didn't change his makeup because of incest. But no, God created with dignity all people. And everyone should be very happy because with their race and who they are. That is not a racial thing. It is a fact of how we got here. God created each with dignity. Well, how can you keep saying with dignity? Because what did he say? God saw everything that he had made. That's all people. And behold, it was very good. God is happy with all the people. God is happy with his creation. So with dignity, treat each other likewise. Love the Father, the creator of all. We'll pick this up in the next lecture. You need to live and to learn from God's word. Because it gives you the understanding of why we are here today. Maybe what many of your destiny is. And what God expects from us. That's why he wrote us this letter to be analyzed and to be absorbed into your own being, to know and to understand. All right, bless your hearts. Don't miss the next lecture. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Epistles of John, three letters written by the Apostle John, that disciple whom Jesus loved. The tenderness of John's writings is marked by the number of times he begins the exhortations and warnings with "my little children" or "little children." In fact, "little children" is written seven times in the first epistle alone. The contents of the first epistle are practical teaching in the light of the love of God. God is life, is light, is truth, is righteous, is love. And we have fellowship with him through the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. The tenderness and love of John's writing continues in the second epistle as he encourages the elect lady and her children to love one another. He also writes, "This is love, that we walk after his commandments." After these words of encouragement, John warns us that there are many deceivers entered into the world and explains how to identify these deceivers. Don't miss this opportunity to study the epistles of John with Pastor Arnold Murray.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves, you got a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, or organization. We do not judge people. We have one judge, that's our Father. He is the judge of all. You are to spiritually discern what you are to do, who you are to study with, who you are to fellowship with. Your first opinion usually is if you have gifted, if you are gifted by that great gift from God of spiritual discernment, your first impression usually will tell you all you need to know about a particular person as far as fellowship is concerned. That's a gift from God. Always thank him for that. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. And your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Now, you got a prayer request? You don't need that number. And you don't need an address. Why? He's your Father. He created you exactly the way he wanted you. He gave you the privilege of working yourself up all the way to heaven if you love him. Because he sure loves you. The thing he wants from you is you to return that love. See that you do. Once you do that, Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name, Father. Thank you. Amen. Okay, in question time, we're going to go with Christine from Illinois. Okay, important to me, your program gives me what I have been searching for. You are a church. Yes, we are. When I went to my church, it was nowhere in comparison. My question is, but really I'm asking for my sister. She lost her son in a car accident when he was 18 years old. They are both born again. She knows where he is at, but it is possible his death paved the way for the rest of the family. I don't think so, because the only sacrifice for our sins was Jesus Christ when he died on the cross for all of us. He would not use another person as a sacrificial death to help the rest of the family. Not as a sacrifice. No, he wouldn't, because the blood sacrifice is over for one and all times. Christ became that one in all times. Hebrews chapter 10. Lo, I come in the volume of the book, as it is written of me, he would say. But however, we know that we recognize our loved ones, and we know in heaven that certainly our overseer, if you be one of God's elect, as it is written, has the face of God at any time. But we do have contacts, and it is not something that I would want to shut out, because it's something we're not totally have total knowledge and complete knowledge of, is to the awareness of those that are with him, other than we know that they're very aware and are able to maybe put a good word in for somebody, be that as it may. I would be very careful how I talk to my sister about that, and if she's comfortable with it, maybe she does not, I'm sure she does not mean, but you might cover Hebrews 10 with her, okay? Terry from Colorado. I have a sister, that's two in a row with sisters. I have a sister who questions your knowledge in the Word. Well, that's nice. You spoke about when Mary conceived that Elizabeth was 6 months along with John the Baptist. She said, how would you know when Elizabeth conceived? Because it's written. It's written, and besides that, she's never read the Bible, has she? That is at least Luke chapter 1, verse 36. She needs to read Luke chapter 1, verse 36. Do you know what it says? It says that Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant when Mary conceived. Okay, so it's scripture. That's how I know. Terry from West Virginia. Thank you for the comment. Could you please explain Thessalonians 4:17? When someone asks me again, I want the right answer. Thank you. 4:17, you picked the subject up in the verse 13. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. If you believe Christ rose, don't be ignorant as the heathen. If you believe Christ rose from the dead, and I hope you do, or you wouldn't be a Christian, then you got to believe also, as it continues on, that all those that sleep in him, that is to say that are dead in him, have risen also. They're not out here in a hole in the ground, as many people would say. They're already gone. And then it continues on, there is no way that we who are alive and can remain can precede the dead, for the dead shall rise first, meaning they're out of here. They're already gone. They're with him. But at the seventh trump, we also shall be changed into a... The word is meet them in the air. The word air is the ambient, that is to say, the breath of life, bodies, meaning your spiritual body. We also, at that trump, are changed into a spiritual body. And they're all coming here. We got work to do. Jada from Illinois, I am 8 years of age. Pastor Murray, is it wrong to celebrate holidays like birthdays and Christmas? Well, thank you for studying. There's nothing wrong with celebrating your birthday. And Christmas, the birthday of Christ, naturally, even though he was born in September the 29th, the conception took place December the 25th. And as long as you have that knowledge and understand, then that's the time, make hay while the sun shines. That's the only time that many children your age even hear the name Jesus. That's the only time they're exposed to it. So always be wiser than the serpent and make hay while the sun shines. Donald from Tennessee. I and several inmates being incarcerated meet every morning for prayer and Bible study. My aim is in the Bible study is to share my insight and increase in knowledge. However, my views are not always accepted by all members of our group. That's normal, okay? One view that I shared was, in the beginning, God populated the earth with people. After Cain killed Abel, he migrated and met these people. Second view, the word Adam means mankind. Would you expound on Genesis 5:2 and the other traditional beliefs? Well, you're fortunate that we're teaching right now in this book, so I won't go to a great deal of length. That you're in pretty good shape, but we'll be covering this item by item in the next three or four lectures. But Genesis 5:2 simply is the genealogy of Adam, Eth-ha-Adam, not Cain, who you will find his genealogy in chapter 4. But it is the offspring of Adam, the ancestor of Christ himself, umbilical cord to umbilical cord, okay? Good to have you with us. Deanne from Wisconsin. I do have a question, though, and I'm glad you enjoy studying. I understand we will be able to help our loved ones during the millennium. My question is, what will we be teaching them? They have already seen Christ in all of his glory. What more could they need to see or hear? If they need more convincing, I hope they are not my relatives. Well, that's a good thought. But, hey, what will be taught in the millennium if everybody knows the word? You won't have to ask your neighbor, do you understand the word? In spiritual bodies, you have total recall. So you do know the word, but it is discipline. Discipline is a hard thing for many people. To discipline themselves, that's what the word disciple means. To become a disciple is a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is, some people, their focus can drift in 5 minutes. Be drift off to boom boom land. Rather than focused on the word of God, disciplining themselves in the truth of God's word, whereby rather than being turned away from God, receive the blessings and knowledge from God that assist you in helping others, okay? That's what is taught there. Discipline. We've got Denise from Canada. Jennifer from... No, that, I'm sorry. The name is Denise, and that's a town. I have a question. I am baptized and also my husband, but we were not anointed with the holy oil. Can we do it ourselves? Because right now we are not going to a church, and the reason for this is because every church we visit, they all preach the same way. Well, naturally you can anoint each other, and you should have anointing oil in your home anyway. It's olive oil. You buy it at a grocery store. Pour a small vial up for yourself and ask God to bless it as anointing all of our people. And a lot of people will say that Christians shouldn't have to anoint. Well, that's what the word Christ means, the anointed one. So it is very important. James chapter 5 lets us know that to heal, you must anoint, and then the healing takes place. Mary from Illinois. Will the appearance of Antichrist be what brings peace to the world, or will peace come to the earth just before Antichrist's arrival? The peace, the one world peace movement will attempt to revive itself or to form itself. But just before the Antichrist returns, it receives a deadly wound, not to a man and not to a person, but to an organization. Just like you might say, well, Well, how can that be? How can an organization receive a deadly wound? Well, look what just happened to Acorn, okay, in part. I wouldn't, it's kind of splintered and shattered, but be that as it may. The world peace movement will receive a deadly wound, but then presto, Johnny on the spot comes the false Christ. I am here, I will take over, and he performs miracles, snaps his fingers, lightning comes from heaven, people begin to bow and fall over themselves for him. If they're ignorant of God's word, they won't know who he is. They'll think it's Christ. Donnie and Joyce from North Carolina. I have a question that I know you can answer for me. I am the only one working in the home. My husband has filed for disability. I haven't been tithing, and I should. Is this a sin in God's eyes? Help me ease my mind to do the right will of God, my Lord. It's not about me, I realize this, but it is really hard to live on waitress hours and tips. Well, you know, you have to, where you're the breadwinner at this time from your family, you tithe on what you have left there, maybe a little love offering, but I don't think you have anything left and at this time. So if it makes you feel better, a little love offering, even if it's $1, you know, that would be like the widow's mite under your conditions. But really, see that your family is fed and the medication and everything is taken care of for the time being. And the father is not going to disown you. He understands. He loves his children. Cheyenne from Kansas. I am from Kansas. My name is Cheyenne. I am 10 years old. I want to know, is there devils, angels, and God's angels? And if someone has a demon inside of them, can it go to person to person? The fact of the matter is, there are fallen angels in chains, as you will read, Cheyenne, in Jude, the little short book of Jude, verses 1 through 6. They're bad angels. They're fallen. And they're going to be back. They're going to be cast out of heaven, as is written in Revelation chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. But there are also very good angels that love the Lord and serve him. But a demon cannot jump from one person to the other if you have Christ in you, okay? My grandmother and my great-grandma and my mom say if you have God in your heart and love, they will not get to you. Me and my grandma watch you in their morning every day. Well, God bless you. It's good to have you with us. No, they cannot. When you love the Lord, as it is written in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, he gives you power over all your enemies, the evil spirits and everything else anyway, in Christ's name. So you've got nothing to fear. You're a real warrior, and God bless you. You keep that line going. Lydia from Florida. I joined several Bible studies. I found myself always questioning those who taught God's Word. So many questions needed answers. I was left with an unquenching thirst for the Word. It was never well with my soul. Not until I came across your program early one morning, and when I knew that you were teaching God's true Word, all is well with my soul now. I watch you, Shepherd's Chapel, every morning. That's great. Change the channel and pick you up another till 4:30. Well, we're up there quite a bit, all right? And I'm going to get to your question. My question to you has to do with Christ, 1,000 years reign. I am confused because I read that Satan would be loose after Jesus' 1,000-year reign. Can you please explain before and after the reign? Well, before the reign, he is locked away in the abyss, the pit, Satan is, so that we can teach for 1,000 years. And then at the end, God doesn't let anybody have a free ride. They've got to be tested, or they're not going to make heaven. This is to say those that didn't take part in the first resurrection. So those that do learn the truth through that thousand-year period that did not have an opportunity in this dispensation of time will be taught, and Satan will be loosed so they can be tested and will overcome or fall. And then comes the second resurrection and then the second death, which is the death of the soul. Revelation chapter 20, last verse. Sherry from Illinois. Pastor Murray, how do we know if we are descendants from the Kenites? And my son Jacob is 19 and is going to prison. I'm so scared, Pastor. Please help me pray for my son Jacob to keep him safe and help him make it through this. I thank you for helping me make through the day with your services each morning. God bless, and we'll be with you in prayer. And you know, if it would not matter, even if you, if I'm sure he's not a Kenite. Let me say that coming out the gate because of the way you write. But even if you were, if you love the Lord, you're a child of God, not a child of Satan. You're no longer a Kenite. You're a child of God because you believe. That makes the difference. Ken from Georgia, I'm wondering what your thoughts are on the riots in Egypt. Well, we have an uprising, not only in Egypt, Tunisia, Lebanon, and many Jordan, many other places in the Arab nations are saber rattling, are making noise. And it would be one that could cause consternation, certainly. But remember this. What did God say about it? Always go by that. God has said Egypt would always be a base nation. It's not going to cease existing. It will still be known as Egypt. And it will still be controlled by the people. Because God has promised it would always be a base nation, and it always will be. Now, naturally, as there is in our nation or any other nation, there can be bad elements in it, but it shall remain. But this is an interesting time, and you want to be very aware of the saber rattling around the world at this time. It's rumors of war and so forth, but it could turn to rumors of world peace mighty soon. Be alert. This would be Rita from Canada. In Romans chapter 8, verse 23, when it speaks of we groaning within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body, means that is when we receive our spiritual and immortal body on the day that the Lord, when Jesus, well, it means a little more than that. It's preparing the saints, set aside ones, as you continue on reading down past about verse 26, it states that you don't even know what to pray for because you're one of God's elect, predestined, that He will intercede in your life to accomplish that that needs to be done to fulfill Scripture. Last part, my word. But back up. It isn't only we that groan for that time. Creation itself groan. Nature itself is groaning for the return of Christ because man is trying to destroy her. And even she wants that time to come. But we have work to do. It is a destiny and a purpose. Be ready for it. Mark 13 tells you what it is. Victor from Illinois. Pastor Murray, where can I find the scripture as to what food is considered clean and unclean to eat? Leviticus chapter 11 is one of the best places. Rule of the thumb, to really simplify it, don't eat scavengers. Only eat clean animals that eat are from grass and so forth, that have the split hoof, and that chews its cud, and you're in good shape. That's deer, cattle, and so forth. Horse, no. They don't have a split hoof, and they're not fit to eat. You're not supposed to eat them. Deborah from Georgia, where can I find in the Bible the scriptures that relate to when Jesus was born? Well, Luke chapter 1, I'd mentioned it earlier when from a question that how could I know 6 months after Elizabeth Mary conceived. Luke chapter 1, you can go to whatever depth you are able to by judging from the course of Abia, which is one of 24 courses that Levitical priests serve, and it is a date. If you are unable to figure it out for yourself, I have a tape titled The Christmas Tape. It will probably teach you more than you wanted to know about. Or you can go to, if you have a companion Bible, if you go to Appendix 179, it has it day by day. You'll be fine. Roy from Virginia. Pastor Murray, are there any scriptures in the Bible that say a man must belong to a denominational church? There's no scripture in the Bible that says anything but that man should love Almighty God, and that should gathering together with somebody that studies God's Word. That's the way it is, not some particular church. I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying our Father's Word, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Most of all, though, God loves you for it. It's the letter He has sent to you. It makes His day. When you make His day, boy, is He going to make yours. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, though, you listen to me and you listen good. You stay in His Word. Every day in His Word is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Jesus, Yeshua, is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the show.